Okay, so it might feel a little stilted or peculiar. It might feel like you're kind of carving up your experience to notice pleasant Vedana or Vedana. But actually, we're simply knowing how we feel. It's not taking us out of just who we are. We're just trying to actually get more natural. Okay, we're simply knowing how we feel. And Anallo, in his book on Satipatthana, says, "This information offers a helpful additional source of information in everyday life, complementing the information gained through more rational modes of observation and consideration." It's a way of not just being in the story and the interpretation, but chunking down into just what it means right now, how we feel, that level of our experience, pre-interpretation. So there's a kind of directness to it. And we're doing these meditative exercises, these instructions, not to try to carve up that experience and cut ourselves into little bits and get compartmentalized. It's actually to help us to become more full and whole in our experience that's grounded in what's actually happening. So we're using a little wise discipline in a sense of having a form to try to get to something more natural and relaxed and authentic, which includes us sort of being able to know how we feel just in any moment. And that will really help us in daily life. And so mental processes, which sounds kind of technical, it includes emotions. So Vedana is just the raw, pleasant, painful, neutral before we respond with emotions. But because we're looking at mental processes, we're looking at more just what happens with us. It includes emotions. Sangharakshita in Living with Awareness has a very helpful way of putting it. Vedana is whatever pleasantness or unpleasantness we might experience in our contact with any physical or mental stimulus. To understand what we would call emotion, Buddhism looks at the way in which that pleasant or painful feeling is interwoven with our reactions and responses to it. In Buddhist psychology, Vedana is said to combine with sankhara or samskara, a volitional quality involving a tendency towards action. It is this combination of sensation with volition that approaches what we would recognize as fully developed emotion. We have this raw data experience happen, and then it's very quickly combined with an action. We kind of get into the realm of emotion. So we're also awake to our emotions non-violently, so not trying to kill anything off. We're just being non-violent, aware of what's happening. One other point to make this morning. So when we're aware of mental processes, so when we're aware of how we're feeling and our emotions and our responses, we may be aware of a lot of action. There might be a lot of Vedana coming and going, a lot of emotion. Might feel very active, maybe even turbulent. So if that's the case, we work with that. But it might be, most of your life is like that, I don't know. And then you come to do this contemplation, and nothing's happening, and it's all quiet. And you think, well, I'm trying to do this contemplation, and this isn't cooperating. So you kind of get aversive towards your experience then. Well, we've been building up samatha, so you might have gotten to the point where you're actually quite content with what's going on. So you're not experiencing a lot of more turbulent or kind of graspy, or you're not so much wanting action. You're not filling in all those spaces. Yeah, so you might come to something quite still and even silent. So this is another way to look at silence. And I know in my group, people have checked in about noticing that they talk to themselves quite a bit in any moment of the day, even if they're verbally silent. There's a lot of self-talk going on. And then when they caught that through the external silence, I'm supposing, it's a helpful support to catching that internal talk. And when they catch that, then they can actually try being silent in another way, not forcibly stopping it. Someone said, well, they noticed they were shouting at themselves, and what they would normally do is shout back. So there's a great image. So you're like, stop shouting. So they just notice that, and then they just, it's kind of like, well, I don't need to do that. So it's not violent, but I just don't need to have this other conversation. So if it might be very active, it might be very still. So not having a preference for one or the other, just being with what is. If it's very still and silent, then there's sort of two options that I think appear to us at that point. We didn't create that silence in a way. It kind of grew out of just being willing to be with what is. Then we sort of realize it's very quiet, maybe quite uncomfortably quiet in here. And then we can either sort of go down the path of Mara, path of distraction, and then create something. It's kind of like we go get our hot water bottle and comfort ourselves. with a familiar sense of self. So we can either get it all going again and just start the whole game of selfing and that sort of thing. Or we can just relax into that space. It might be very unfamiliar, so just relaxing into this newfound silence, spaciousness, and just see what that's like. Okay, when that changes, don't get attached to that either. If that changes, letting that come and go. This is from Ayakama, Who Is Myself, and it's about those moments of stillness. To say that the observer has merged with the observed means our self-assertion and ego support system have, for the duration of the meditation, been discarded. This is the reason why many people are afraid to go so deep into meditation. Their ego, their feeling of me, is against it. To let go of that self, even temporarily, even though not completely, can be too frightening for the untrained mind. Instead of letting ourselves fall into this stillness, we back out. This is not uncommon, but it does not matter. We can always try again. It is like being afraid of the deep end of a swimming pool when we are not quite sure we can really swim. But once we have had the experience of complete stillness and understood that it only comes through the temporary abandonment of our self-assertion, our will to be, and our desire for any kind of position, we realize how wonderful that abandoning of self actually is. Then we become even more eagerly inclined to abandon it completely.